Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I need soothing. My lips aren't moving. My God is blue.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The English singer and songwriter Laura Marling didn't wait long to make her mark on the music world. Her debut album, Alas, I Cannot Swim, came out in 2008 when she had just turned 18. That album was the first of three Marling records that were nominated for Britain's prestigious Mercury Prize. Now, Laura Marling returns to our studio with her newest album, her sixth. It's called Semper Femina. And for a singer who was categorized as a folk musician early on, this album covers a lot of sonic ground. Laura Marling and her band are here to play some of those new songs for us, beginning with this one called The Valley.
I know she stayed in town last night, didn't get in touch. I know she has my number right, she can't face seeing us. She sings in the valley many a morning. I have woke longing to ask her what she's mourning. Of course I know it can't be spoke. Perhaps she's had too much of love, can be a sickly thing. That's why she mourns the morning dew and the newness that it brings. Sings in the valley in the morning. Many a morning I have woke longing to ask her what she's mourning. Of course I know it can't be spoke. I love you in the morning. I love you in the day. I'd love her in the evening if only she would stay. Us too. It needs our drooling gaze and innocence reminds us to cover our drooling gaze. She's down there in the valley. I know she wanders there. She's down there in a valley. I can see her golden hair. Love you in the morning, my angel of the west. I love her in the evening. I'll do my very best.
That is Laura Marling and her band live here in the Soundcheck studio. Beautiful song called The Valley, which appears on Laura's newest album called Semper Femina. And Laura's brought her band in with her, Matt Ingram behind our drum kit, Nick Pinney playing the bass, Simon Ribchester on guitars, backing vocals by Tamsin Topolsky and Emma Topolsky. Laura Marling, welcome back. Good to see you.
Thank you.
So the album title, Semper Femina, so that means always the woman, always
always
woman.
A woman, yeah.
A woman.
Yeah.
You did this at around the same time that you were hosting this podcast called Reversing the Muse? Is that?
Yeah, Reversal of the Muse.
Reversal
yeah.
of the Muse. Were they simultaneous kind of projections of the same thought, or did one kind of sort of produce the other?
No, they're separate things, but they're... The album wasn't so considered as Reversal of the Muse.
Mm-hmm.
The album's just a collection of thoughts, but and the title makes it sort of sound very, very similar.
Yeah.
But they're very different things.
So was it a case where you had written all these songs and then it sort of occurred to you afterwards, oh, there is something going on here?
Yeah. Well, that's the zeitgeist, isn't it? We're all sort of tuned into that.
So with this podcast, Reversal of the Muse, you've had a chance to interview people like Emmylou Harris and the band Haim and, you know, lots of other people. What would reversing the muse look like?
Yeah, I guess the I just like the phrase reversing the muse, which comes from Lenora Carrington, the painter. But the investigation of the podcast was about feminine creativity and where it exists and what is different about it and how it can be nurtured. And the sort of conclusion of these discussions was that women need to teach women certain trades within the music industry, especially in engineering and maybe playing and mentorships and things like that.
But this idea of reversal of the muse, because, you know, the tradition is the male artist and the female, you know, object of his creativity, you know, the woman as the muse for the man.
Mm.
If you're talking about female creativity, is it that simple? Is it just the woman looking at the man, or is it like a complete upsetting of that old image?
Well, I mean, it's very complicated, and I sort of don't. I wouldn't imply that reversing the muse is about sort of like directly inverting the concept, but you know, the muse is thought of to be a feminine entity, you know,
right.
Like the mythical quality of the muse, and that might be because women, in some way, or femininity is the origin of the world. It is, you know, the ultimate act of creation is the gestation of a child.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you were talking in sort of poetic philosophical terms. So what does that mean for now, that perhaps the objectification, it's been taken to the extreme of the objectification of the muse and our relationship to femininity now in lots of broad areas of creativity is very different. So I want to know why.
Yeah. Now, so you spend a lot of time thinking about this.
Mm.
As a songwriter, did you find that, Maybe this was in retrospect only, but did you find that these thoughts were sort of coloring the songs?
Yeah, definitely. You know, whatever's happening, as much as like watching The Sopranos from start to finish affects the songwriting, whatever I'm doing, you know, like whatever I'm doing affects it.
Is that true? Did you?
Oh, no, not when I was writing this. That's just what I've been doing recently. But that'll be on the next one.
There is a very wide sonic palette on this record, on Semper Femin. I mean, we heard a little bit of Soothing at the top of the segment, which, you know, has this lush string arrangement and then has some electronics at the end. One of the songs you'll do for us in a little while is like full on plugged in, you know. How much of that is worked out in advance, and how much of that is you sitting down with, you know, your producer, Blake Mills, your arranger, Rob Moose, and kind of figuring that stuff out in the studio?
I have to say, very little of that was to do with me. I mean, the songs at the core are written, you know, I write them, apart from Soothing, actually, which I wrote with Blake. And then Blake puts his sonic palette around it. And I have produced my last record, and I sort of tried to paint my own picture around my own picture, which I didn't enjoy that much, actually, for myself. So it's much nicer to work with someone else who has a great palette.
Right, and who obviously has done very well with bands like Alabama Shakes and John Legend and Jim James. So Blake Mills, a guy with a track record.
Yeah.
There's also, you know, there are some wonderful moments that seem to look back. There's the song Don't Pass Me By, which has that kind of descending set of chords that might remind people of While My Guitar Gently Weeps or Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You or 25 or 60. It's kind of a classic musical trope that you're building that song on.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Blake actually pointed that out in the studio and tried to change it. He's like, that's been heard too many times, which is true.
You take my old guitar, the one that I once said was ours. Don't be blue. You hum that old tune, the one I used to sing for you when we're alone.
But yeah, there's some more like more standard. I'm writing more standard arrangements of things now than I used to.
Yeah. The record sounds great, called Semper Femina, Always a Woman. It's the latest from Laura Marling. And she and the band are here playing some of it for us. What are we doing next? Are we doing Wildfire or Not Nearly?
Nothing Not Nearly, yeah.
Nothing Not Nearly. This is the one. I actually went back and was trying to figure out when you were last on the program, and I looked it up online, and it was December 2011, and then at the end of that session, you said something about looking forward to the day when you could plug in and play electric. And this is you plugging in, right?
Kind of. Well, it's Simon plugging in.
Yeah.
Over there.
And it's, you know, the song has a real kind of, you know, amps to 11 quality to it.
Yes, exactly.
All right, let's hear a live performance. Laura Marling and her band here in the Soundcheck studio. Nothing Not Nearly is the name of the song.
Forget the late September where we passed them on the midnight embers, but it's going like a half remembered dream. Left and north of where we met, thinking better of going west. Now we lost each other in our little stream. Thought I'd come find you there, wait until you lost your head and got your place out in the woods. You're not afraid of trees or bears or anything with tendencies to want to hurt you, girl. The only thing I learned in a year, where I didn't smile once, not really. There's nothing matters more than love. No, nothing, no, not nothing, no, not nearly. We've not got love. It's gone.
forget that late September will we pass him on the midnight embers, but it's going like a half remembered dream. Left the north of where we met, thinking better of going west. Now we've lost each other in a river stream. The only thing I learned in a year, why didn't smile once, not really. There's nothing matters more than love, no, nothing, no, not nothing, no, not nearly. We've not got love.
That is Laura Marling and her song Nothing Not Nearly. That's the closing track on the new record, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah.
And as I say, sort of on the record, amps to 11 here in the studio, amps to 8 or 9, I think, was good enough. I loved Simon's super minimal guitar solo in the middle of that piece.
Simon.
That's Simon Ribchester on guitar, Nick Pinney on bass, Matt Ingram on drums, Tamsin and Emma Topolsky on backing vocals. Laura Marling's album is called Semper Femina. You will be back here in New York in May.
Yeah, that's right.
To play Brooklyn Steel.
A brand new venue.
A brand new place. Yeah. So no one's seen it yet, but we're assuming it's going to be great.
So. Yes, of course.
So where are you living these days? Are you in L.A. or are you back in London?
I live in London, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there was a time.
There was, yeah. Yeah. I lived in L.A. for 4 years.
That is a long way, both literally and metaphorically, from Hampshire, where you were raised.
Very, 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 very different to London. but yeah, wonderful, you know? You get to explore California.
See the sun.
See the sun. Chat some hippies. All good.
It's also a famously visually oriented town. It's the town of Hollywood.
Yes.
And you have become sort of, more of a visual artist lately. I mean, you directed at least one of the videos for these new songs, right?
Yeah, I've directed all of the videos.
All of the videos, yeah. So what is that? I mean, you talked about maybe feeling ambivalent about your own production of your songs. What is it like to be the director of your own videos?
That's much more fun for me because to give a kind of like visual... And they're nonsensical videos. They don't follow a narrative or anything.
Right.
Just to give a kind of like random visual accompaniment to the songs felt kind of right. It was good. Yeah.
Although, for folks who haven't seen them, you use the word nonsensical. They're not nonsense. They don't, as you say, non-narrative.
They're non-narrative.
Very poetic. Yeah. Do you have visual art training? Did you study any of that kind of thing?
No, I didn't, actually. I'm not trained in anything, but yeah. no, I don't. Yeah.
All right. And then there was also a film that you did in Texas. What was that? The short film, yeah. What was that?
That was called Woman Driver. That was for a short film competition.
Uh-huh.
Which we won.
Really?
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And what did you do? Well, you were the star of that.
Yeah, well, I wrote it and then I started it. I wrote it with three other people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But you didn't direct that?
No, I didn't direct it. My friend Max Knight and
you
Chris
just
Pankow.
Wrote and starred in it. That's all. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
So just, the title, The Woman Driver and the Semper Femina.
I hadn't even put that together.
Yeah, I was just wondering if maybe they were all sort of coming from the same kind of creative impulse somehow.
Well, they must be, I guess. But yeah, I hadn't put that together.
All right. So the song we're going to hear next, called Wildfire, I hate asking people to explain their songs, but is there something you can tell us about this song? Because it's full of really kind of evocative lyrics that might set it up for us. And no is a perfectly acceptable answer.
Well, I wouldn't be that rude. What in particular do you think is evocative in it?
The image of the wildfire.
Wildfire, yeah. Well, that is California, isn't it?
Very much so.
Yeah. That was always like a terrifying permanent threat to your existence in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Oh, I guess it depends on what part of L.A. you lived in, but if you were up in the hills, for sure, right?
Yeah.
Is that where you were?
No. Absolutely couldn't have been further away from that.
Okay. All right, well, let's just hear the song. It's called Wildfire, and once again, it's Laura Marling and her band live on Soundcheck.
Are you chasing down a wildfire or trying to make a cold liar out of me? You want to get high, you can overcome those desires before you come to me. Think your mama's kind of sad, think your papa's kind of mean. I can take it all away, you can stop playing it out on me. Me. Keeps a pen behind her ear because she's got something she really, really needs to say. She puts it in a notepad. Are you gonna write that book someday? Of course, the only part that I want to read is about her time spent with me. Wouldn't you die to know how you're seen? Are you getting away with what you're trying to be? Trying, yeah. Of course, there are things upon the earth that we must really try to defend. Lonely beast, a kind heart, something we can untrend. I do it all for her for free. I need nothing back for me. There no sweeter deed may be than to love something enough to want to help it. Say that you love me most when I don't know I'm being seen. Maybe someday if God takes me away, I'll understand what that means. I just know that your mama's kind of sad. I know your papa's kind of mean. Can take it all away. You can stop playing this out on me. Me. Yeah.
something on her mind, something she needs to get by. Do you cry sometimes? Do you cry sometimes?
That is lovely. Laura Marling and her band with Wildfire live in the Soundcheck studio. That's from the new record, Semper Femina. Everybody bar Simon singing at some point during that song. All right, so here's why I did ask you a little bit about, to tell us something about the song before playing it. There are moments in the song, especially the kind of half-sung, half-spoken moments specifically, that really reminded me of early Lou Reed. As like Coney Island Baby, that era of Lou Reed. I don't know whether that's just me or, you know, I don't know if you even are familiar with that part of his career.
Yeah, I'm not very familiar with that.
Yeah, it's just...
But I'm happy with that association.
Yeah. I mentioned before that, you know, I'd gone back to check the last time you were here, and there was an interesting comment from a listener on the website. And I wanted to just see if you've heard this before. This is 2011 comment from our listener Tom in New Jersey. Writes, I thought she was in her late 40s, early 50s. Her singing voice sounds like an older woman's. Weird.
Okay.
Have you ever, has anyone said that to you before? Has anyone said you sound like a, you know?
An old woman.
Well, I was going, I was going to say a more mature singer.
Yes. I think people have said, remarked upon, because I also have a child's face. So I've got an old person's voice and the face of a five-year-old. So, yeah, it's quite confusing. People.
Well, it works for you. So,
yes.
Yeah. All right. Semper Femina, the latest from Laura Marling. Great to have you with us. Thank you so much for bringing the band in and playing for us today.
Thank you for having us.
I don't want to be the kind struck by fear to run and hide. I'll be better next time.
That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Follow us at Soundcheck on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram at Soundcheck Radio. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Light production work provided by the New Sound staff, Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.
I feel her, I hear her weakly scream. Am I really so unkind?